Have you ever felt the weight of being labeled all over the place because of your many passions? If so, let me ask you this. Are you ready to break free from the shackles of societal norms and boldly showcase your ability to innovate and turn vision into reality? Can you imagine aligning your passions, purpose, and profession without compromise? Well, you're not alone, and you're in the right place. I get it because I am you. I'm Jatia Jones of Jatia Jones Consulting, and I've walked the path of a multi-passionate. Welcome to the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Join me for inspiring conversations with multi-passionate CEOs who've turned their diverse passions into a force for change. We dive deep into our collective experiences, sharing invaluable lessons, and providing you with a strategic roadmap to manifest the life and business of your wildest dreams. This isn't just a podcast, it's a movement. And I'm not just your podcast host. I'm your partner in this dynamic journey. You, me, and the incredible community of multi-passionates. Get ready to unlock the confidence, courage, and clarity to help you become the world-changing, multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. Now let's jump into this week's episode. Tanya is the founder of Lumos Marketing, a thought leadership consultancy for social impact entrepreneurs ready to stand out as they stand up for their mission. She consults, coaching and consulting, with a hybrid approach, offering personal brand messaging strategy for LinkedIn with coaching to dismantle imposter syndrome. She also hosts the podcast, The Campfire Circle, which explores the idea of replacing the boardroom table as the ultimate space of leadership with the campfire circle, a place to share our stories, build inclusive community, and spark visionary ideas. I am so excited for you to dive into this conversation. I met Tanya in a program with Jordan Gill, and then again, we reconnected on LinkedIn, and the content that she puts out is absolutely amazing. If you're part of the Clarity community or the email listserv, you've also received links to some of her podcast episodes because I am constantly listening to her podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, her link to her podcast will be in the show notes, and that is a definite must listen. But with that being said, let's jump right into today's conversation.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm so excited about today's conversation. You guys have already listened to her bio, but Tanya, welcome to the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. I always just start by letting you guys always tell the people who you are and what you do, because they've heard your bio, but I'd love for them to hear it from you.
Perfect. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on here. I'm honored to be a part of the show and be with you today. And really, I'm a thought leadership strategist. And really what that means is I support women founders who are working on, you know, mission-driven, social impact-driven businesses or nonprofits. I really help them share their story, share their passion, share their wisdom with the world so that they can build a community of people that are ready to help them make shift happen.
Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love that. I don't know if that is like your official tagline, but when I saw it on your website, I was like, I love that. So if you guys catch that, she said, make shift happen. Okay.
That's it.
So I really was super excited, like as I dived into your website more, to have you on the podcast, because most of my audience, I say, are multi-passionates. Half of them don't even realize that they're multi-passionates, but a general description that they can relate to is that they're different and they want to make a difference. And many of them do all the things and they really don't know how to articulate in a very concise way or in a very impactful way what they do or like their heart's desires. And so when I read through your copy, I was like, oh my God, she's perfect. The people need to hear more from her. Because I also feel like, in my personal opinion, that most visionaries or multi-passionates, multi-hyphenates, they really are social impacts and they don't realize it. because they are passion driven, they're mission driven, but they've spent so much time trying to force themselves in the box that everybody told them that they should be in, that their focus is more so on the what I shoulds and not really what their heart really is nagging at them to do. So that's why I was like, we have to have you on. You're perfect, because they need, especially in LinkedIn, because also lastly, most of them are employeepreneurs, as I call it. They're working the 9 to 5 and then they go home and do the 5 to 9, or for me, it was more like 6 to 10 or 6 to 2 to do the things that they're passionate about, because their career wasn't really leveraging their purpose or their passion. And so what you do is amazing because it's so needed for people like me. So if you, how long have you, or how did you even dive into this specialty?
You know, it's an interesting story, because before I started my business, I worked in the nonprofit addiction treatment space for 12 years. So I worked for a program that helped women, pregnant women, and women with their children get sober from the disease of substance use disorder. And it was a really interesting thing, because when I got there, I did fundraising, I did marketing, I did a lot of different things, but I really learned the power of storytelling. Because what I would do in the very beginning, when I first got there as like a fresh, like straight out of college kind of employee, is I would sit with our patients and I'd sit with our alumni and I would try to get their stories. I would ask them about, you know, their stories so that we could potentially, with their consent, you know, share them with our audience and share them in marketing materials and that kind of thing. And so what I found was, as they would share their story, their stories were still very much stuck in the shame and the guilt and the negative parts of their story. And as we worked together, we started to draw out and really make real the positive, courageous, resilient pieces of their story, right? The fact that they were able to change their life around and that they were creating a different reality for themselves and their families. And so once they had a different story, a different narrative about their journey and their life and, you know, what they were about, it changed the way that they related to other people, right? They had their heads were held higher. They were able to advocate for themselves in a really more powerful way in their jobs, in their families, really in any kind of space that they were. And so that taught me that the story we have about ourselves is so often like the story that other people see about us. And so it just taught me how powerful it is to take the time to create our own narrative and ensure that it really is our narrative. It's not the narrative that society is telling us that we should have. It's not the narrative that like our imposter thoughts are helping us create for us. It's really our most empowered narrative. And really quick, as I was doing that work, I also started to help our CEO, our board members, and eventually as I became the executive director, you know, we would share our stories, our personal stories, to get in the limelight, but have that light reflect back on the mission of our organization. And I saw how powerful that sharing these stories were in attracting people to us. And it made me so happy because I didn't have to knock on so many doors and, you know, go out there and pound the pavement, because the right people were coming to us because we were consistently sharing why we were passionate about this work. Right. So that taught me how powerful this work can be.
I absolutely love all of that. When people ask me normally, like, what do? I normally jokingly but seriously say, I make dreams come true. Right. I really think that we have the power to create our own reality, as you said. And our dreams of today are really the reality of tomorrow. And so, as you were talking about how you are helping them create a new narrative and how that really like impacted them from the inside out. That's what that's my personal heart's desire for everybody that I work with, because there's a stigma around being multi-passionate or visionary, or I call us disruptors that go against the status quo. And there's a shame that goes along with that stigma. And so many of them tend to walk in that shame or try to hide. And I call us black sheeps in a in a flock of white ones, we can't hide no matter how hard we try, but we do because of the societal systems and stigmas that are placed on us to be and do things in a certain manner. And so that just warmed all of my heart when you said they would hold their head higher and advocate for themselves, because you made, well, you helped them make their dream come true, right? They're living that new narrative. And then on top of that, you said you didn't have to beat the pavement as much, right? And you were drawing people to you. And I feel like that, the analogy I use a lot is a lighthouse. Like you help them really truly shine their light so that the organization and them as individuals really did allow for the other boats that they're supposed to help guide to come to them and not have to go and find them, which is what all of us really want to do because we really just want to make money doing what we love. And so that's why I also like, as I looked at your copy and your messaging, your listening to your podcast, I was like, you do it for a population that is specific, but my people need you, you know? So then I guess my next question would be like, how did you navigate over to, well, let me rewind. That is a really boss move that you worked from marketing straight out of college to be the executive director. Love it. How did that like pivot over to specifically LinkedIn? Or at least that's how I know is like your focus is LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that question. And by the way, it took 12 years to get to that ED position. So you know what I mean? There's no overnight successes, I don't think. But I, exactly. Yeah, thank you for saying that. So really, I pivoted over because when I was a nonprofit ED, I used LinkedIn tremendously. Now, the organization I worked for was, you know, relatively small. It was about a $5 million budget organization, which, you know, is also, I would say in our neck of the woods, there were many organizations that were much, much bigger. And so at the time, you know, throughout my career, we didn't always have this big like marketing budget to spend on a PR firm or to spend on a splashy gala or to spend on all these other types of campaigns that some organizations that were very well funded could have. And so we had to get really scrappy and creative, and LinkedIn is free to use, right? LinkedIn is free to use. Of course, it takes our time, but you know, you can get really great results from the free version. And so I was very busy as a nonprofit ED. My days would start, you know, sometimes at 7 a.m. with like a donor meeting. They'd end at after 7 p.m. with a big grant receptions dinner. And so it was hard to find the time to really put something thoughtful and put it on LinkedIn. And yet, so many powerful, magical, and like amazing things were happening on a daily basis in terms of our clients getting well and families being reunited and, you know, like kids learning that they, like just kids completely changing their lives, that I knew that it was a responsibility of mine to get these stories out there in front of an audience that could help us, you know, do more of this work. And so I challenged myself to share just one thought per week, one story, because the reality is like a dozen amazing things were happening on a daily basis. And just like for the people who are listening, probably there's many things that are happening on a daily basis in your world, in your business, for your brand that are worth sharing, right? That are worth celebrating, like little text messages you're getting from your clients that are saying, oh my gosh, like you helped me, you know, XYZ, like these amazing testimonials. And so often that good energy is happening, but they're not going anywhere. And so when I was in the ED role, I took that step to share one story per week. And at first it felt like nothing was happening, right? It felt like, you know, maybe I'd get 3 likes or something and it was like, whatever, but I kept doing it. I stayed consistent. And after about a month and definitely after a quarter and exponentially, as I kept going, people really took notice. And it wasn't always about getting the likes, but it was about donors and corporations and local business influencers and, you know, people who would give us grants would say when I would meet them in person, oh, I saw that LinkedIn post you did. No idea you were in network with XYZ or whatever that I was talking about. And so even though the trust building is kind of invisible, it kind of happens behind the scenes, I saw how much deeper and more powerful the relationships that I had were because I was staying consistently top of mind with them on LinkedIn. And then the pandemic hit. So many people started their businesses, their mission-driven, impact-driven businesses that were born out of passion, just like you said. And I realized that I could bring that skill set of using LinkedIn to a larger audience, because LinkedIn is still sometimes thought of as like TikTok's corporate stuffy grandpa, as like this hyper-professional space. And it's really changed. You can build a really human-centered personal brand on LinkedIn and build a beautiful business at the same time.
That is so very true. When I first started coaching, I got the suggestion to go over to LinkedIn. And I was like, no, it's too conservative. Yeah. You know, Instagram is my playground. But then I had to realize, like, who's over there? My potential true clients are there, whether they're looking for new employment, right? Because they're not really fulfilled at their 9-to-5, or they're actually on there for their current employer. But those are the individuals that are there. And I was like, I was there and I don't consider myself to be stuffy. So I was like, yeah. You know, maybe it's some more of me over there. And so when I did take the leap, I was like, oh, there are some pretty cool people doing some really amazing things over here. And so I do consistently encourage people to go over there. I actually just did a talk on sometime last week. My days are running together. And the young lady was like, I have one, but I don't have anything on there. I was like, do you at least have a picture? I was like, you can at least start there. Because this is, I feel like the best avenue to not get burnt out over social media, such as Facebook and Instagram, where they're controlling us with the algorithm. And you can make some really genuine and true connections with real people outside of virtual land. Like, it'll actually go somewhere. Not to say that the other social platforms aren't effective. I just believe they're not as effective with, like you said, creating that community.
Yes, I actually just finished up a coaching call with one of my clients, and she was mentioning that. She was mentioning that, like, you know, the level of relationships that she's building on LinkedIn is at the same caliber as she would meet at like a conference or at something like that, like something more in real life. Like, it actually lends itself to being able to build these connections that you didn't think you could do online, but people are just, it's just, yeah, it's just a different kind of ecosystem. So you're right. Thanks for calling that out. You're spot on.
And I do agree too, since post-pandemic, I'm starting to use the term really global disruption, because I feel like it's really similar to things that have happened in the past and things that'll happen in the future, since, you know, history repeats itself. And so if we really don't look at it as just the pandemic, but literally some type of global disruption, then we'll be able to take these lessons that we've learned in the future in some type of form or fashion. And so with that, I see this surge of not just the businesses being created, but like people just really prioritizing not just peace, but their priorities overall are changing, right? Mm. They're taking, for me, it was, I was taking my health seriously. Like, you want me to come back into the office? I'm not doing that because this place is ridiculous. It already has poor ventilation. I'm not going back there. And for others, it was different things. It was family, right? They're like, I want to really pay attention to my lifestyle, because I've spent like all of these hours and majority of my life, you know, grinding it out for a whole nother corporation that has a mission that I kind of believe in, but not really. And now I want to create something that's surrounded around my lifestyle, not my life surrounding around business. And so I know with those individuals who are doing pivots or career changes, it's been very difficult to pinpoint their story because a lot of them have, I hate to say, but like lost, have like identity loss, you know? Yeah. And it's like, who am I really? Especially after we hit 40 or over 40, it's like you spent majority of your life on a journey to be what someone told you you should be. You get the good job, you get the house, the car, the family. And it's like now life gets real, you've had real loss, or you're shifting to taking care of the parents or parenting the parents, as I say. And you're looking at life like, who am I? What do I really want? And so they have a really, really hard time of pinpointing that story. So for like your clients that come to you, do they already have a mission or story that they want to get out there? Or for the individual who's just like, I know there's more, I have a passion for something, but I don't know like how to just go on LinkedIn and tell a story. How would you work with someone like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I just want to say before I even answer that question, I really love what you said about like the identity loss in this era of global disruption, because life is so much different than it was 3 years ago. And we all have a new story. Like we really all have a new story, or at least it's updated and it's evolved and it's changed. Mm-hmm. So you're so spot on. And for the people who are listening, if you haven't had an opportunity to think about like, how has my story shifted? Like what has there been a different sort of line of demarcation or like defining moment that has like really prompted the flavor of how I do what I do now, you know, that'd be an interesting exercise. So yeah, I mean, what I generally do when people come to me and they are in the process of really getting clarity around their brand message, or like really figuring out what it is that their story is that they want to really like root into and have as their foundational brand story, origin story, founder story, I like to start off with like, what is the transformation that you create for the people you serve, right? What is the transformation you create? And what is the, well, I guess first, what is the problem you solve? But what is the transformation you create? Like in an ideal world, can you paint a picture of what somebody's life would be like after that you solve this problem? And I love working with people who went through that transformation themselves, right? Who face that problem themselves in their lived experience. And they themselves had to figure out a framework or a process to get themselves through it. Because I really, truly think it doesn't matter what degrees you have, what certifications you have, how many years of experience you have, you know, whether or not you went to the right school, you know, right in quotations that, you know, there is no right school, but yeah, right. There is. So for me, it's about, did you go through that journey yourself? And, you know, one of the quotes that I often rely on and mention is a quote by Brené Brown, who says, one day you will tell the story of what you overcame and it will become someone else's survival guide. And to me, like, that's what this work is about, right? So what is the problem you overcame? What was life like for you when you were facing the problem? What did it feel like? What messages did you get about the problem? How did you try to solve it on your own to no avail? What was the defining moment when you decided enough was enough? You know, I can't do this any longer. Like, this is not it. This is not how I want to do my business / life / relationship / whatever. And how did you solve the problem? Like, how did you gingerly, tenderly, emergently, like figure out your way out of the problem? And how does that now inform your framework and the ways that you work with people? And what is life like now as a result? Like not just as a result of you having solved the problem for yourself, but as a result of you being able to help the people that you help with that problem. Like how does the world change as a result? Like what? How will the future change? And some of you might be listening and being like, well, I just help people with like ClickUp implementation or something. It's not like that serious, exactly. Tanya, but it is actually. It is because you're helping people with overwhelm. You're helping people with the struggle of like not knowing if they can really run a business because they feel like they don't have what it takes because they're unorganized. You know what I mean? Like the things that we do, the transformations we create directly tie into this something bigger. Mm-hmm. And so like, don't lose sight of that as you create your story, you know?
I love that example. Absolutely love that example, because so many of us So many of my clients come to me and they're like, I want to figure out which passion is my purpose. And I have to, unfortunately, you know, pop their bubble and say, well, unfortunately, none of them, because your passions are your how. They're how you make income doing your purpose, what you do. And so when we go through that and they get enlightened, normally 9 times out of 10, when we identify what it is, they get very upset with me because they don't want that to be the thing. Because they're like, that's too simple, or no one's going to pay me for that. Of course, because everybody's focus is on the money. And so I have to redirect them to not just focus on the money, but focus on the mission behind that simple thing. And once you do that, the money will come. But they literally like fight it tooth and nail because they think it's so small. So even something like ClickUp or just being really good with technology or a computer, or, you know, they dismiss it because they're like, oh, anybody can. And I'm like, no, they can't. And even if they could, they don't want to. So you are saving them time so they can go spend time with their kids or their spouse or their friends. And they value that more than actually sitting there and doing it. Because I was working with a graphic designer for my planner, and he's like, you know, all the stuff with this program. And I was like, yeah. He's like, so why don't you do it? I don't want to. I was like, I haven't worked with this program since undergrad. I haven't really done graphics since undergrad. And jokingly with my friends, and then it really hit me. I was like, we've been out of college 20 plus years at this point. Like, we've been out of undergrad a really long time. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I'm paying you to do this because you can do it sooner, quicker, faster. And so I just share that because even though I do have that skill set, it would have taken me so much longer to do what he did. So much frustration, wasted time, headaches, and more gray hair. So the smallest things that, you know, you're gifted at doing are very, very big for other people. And I don't want them to discount that. So I'm so happy that you use that as an example, you know?
I love what you said so much. Like, I really want people to like really, really hear that and internalize that, because that's something that I even struggle with. Like, this, some people call it the curse of knowledge. I get trapped in this thing of like, why would this company want me to come in and talk about LinkedIn for an hour and pay me like this amount of, like, this is so easy. Like, I don't get it. And then we trip ourselves up because we forget like, oh, I've been doing this for 10 years, or, oh, I've been like doing this so intensively every day for the entirety of having my business. We forget that it's new for other people, and that what is easy for us is really hard for others. Or like you said, they just don't want to take the time to do it. So what you said is so important. I love that.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also have to just piggyback on that, because a lot of times we don't realize, especially like some of my clients, let's say, who are in like skincare or estheticians, and they're like, but everybody knows that. I'm like, no, they really, really don't. Like you said, the curse of knowledge, you know this. Or for example, like my Instagram feed is full of like home design and, you know, everything strategy and communication. And so like people are like, how did you know this? Or where did you find, this is what my feed is full of. So this is what I know, like the latest and greatest about. So I can share that information because that's what I'm feeding myself on a daily basis. Where it's like, you are LinkedIn in and out, like you said, for the past 10 years. So like, if there's a tweak, you're going to know. Where we probably will miss it and be behind the eight ball, and we won't hear about it or know about it till like 10 years later, when it's not even relevant anymore. And so the imposter syndrome is real. As I call them, the whispers of doubt, they get to all of us. And especially as you like reach the next level, you know, and as you grow and you scale, it's like, am I really good at this? Do I really know what to do? And I always say too, like, the more clarity you have, the more confused you are, even though you're really not. It's like situational fog. I give the example of like taking off in the airplane, you can see the ground, it's so clear. And then you're in the sky and you're like, I don't know where in the world I am until the plane lands, right? Yes. So you're not really confused, but you just are foggy because you have more clarity and you're feeling closer to the thing, the impact, the more, but you just can't like truly articulate it, you know?
Well, I think you bring up a really good point that the more clarity you get, sometimes the, like the fog, or I almost call them contractions. Like, it's painful. Like, it's like, oh, like, this doesn't feel good. Like, I feel like I've stretched myself past my limit. Like, I'm too big for my britches or something like that. You know, like, it's that kind of energy. But when you're feeling that energy, it's a sign and a symptom that you're about to like be birthed into your next level, because you really are. That's the process. That's the process. You're stretching yourself. Yeah.
Yes, that is so good. That is exactly what it is. It is painful. It feels good, but it hurts, you know. It's exciting, but it's painful. All at the same time. I love that analogy. And so with that, I know like a lot of visionary specifically, right? They have this vision. They're visual learners. They can see it. They really can tell you the warm and fuzzy feeling, or they can articulate that part, but they really can't articulate the tangible items, right? So like when you were saying, you know, what's the transformation that you want? How is the world different? I know for me, like I would answer that question by saying, my clients get a sigh of relief. The weight is lifted off of their shoulders, or they feel understood and heard and accepted, right? But those are intangibles. I know how impactful that is to a client. You know, I have sessions where we're both crying, right? Because I'm so excited for them, and they're just like relieved that somebody gets it, relieved that they are not insane, that all of the things that they've done, you know, are the pieces of the puzzle, and now they have someone to help them put the puzzle together to create like this masterpiece. But the tangible words, when you think of LinkedIn, most people think the tangible things. What are the outcomes that I can really truly tell an organization or a company that I'm going to provide them when I'm telling my story? And because the people that you work with are the ones who've gone through and they have their own method, right? They can describe the feeling mostly when I talk to people, but they have the hardest time gaining clarity in telling their story with tangibles. So how does that, do you see that in your line of work, and how do you work with those individuals?
Yeah, I think that's another great place where the curse of knowledge comes up, because we are so close to the end product and like the outcome that we almost forget to bring it up because it's so clear to us. And we forget that the people we're talking to or hoping to reach, like, don't even know what that feels like or looks like. And so there's a real beauty and art, and maybe even a science, I don't know, to trying to make every piece of content as specific as possible. Like, how can we hone down and get more focused, right? And so in your case, like if the end result is, you know, your clients are breathing a sigh of relief, like what does that mean? Like, what are they relieved about? Where was the pressure in their body and I know sometimes like you don't know, like you're kind of like making that up, but the more you can be specific, the more people will resonate with what you're saying and hear themselves reflected in that story, whether or not they feel the pain, feel the relief psychosomatically, or they see the white space on their calendar, or like there's another expression of that relief. But the more specific you can get, the better. And so like, maybe we can workshop it. Like what might be an example of something that a client might say, where it's just like a little bit too, I almost want to say like loosey goosey, but that's not it. Like, it's just like a little bit too broad.
Fluffy. Let's see. So a lot of times they'll say, but because we're downplaying, right? So it's like, I just want to do my piece of good in the world. And I'm like, okay, but like,
what does that mean?
Yeah. Right, you know?
What is that?
And so when I try to dig deeper, it's confined, it's constrained. So like when you gave the example, like where do they actually feel it in the body? A lot of times they don't even realize that it's the tension and strain and stress has been held in the body until it's released. They feel it in the heart. They feel it in the shoulders because it's been normalized for them, because literally since birth or a kid, they've been trying to stuff themselves in a box that people have put them in, and then also a box of protection, right? Because of the crazy looks or feeling ostracized. So they put themselves in a box instead of putting on armor, right? So day to day, I try to get them to be like, put on a helmet today. You don't need the box. You don't need to be confined. You just need to, you know, work on your mental health, right? And so even when I'm asking them these questions to get deeper instead of wider, they're still self-constraining themselves, right? Because it's normalized. This is their safe zone, is to keep it constrained and politically correct, for a lack of a better term. instead of allowing themselves just to be free to be or to dream or to share or feel safe enough to really share the whole thing. So a lot of times they're like, do I just tell you everything? I'm like, yeah, just blah. And we'll put the pieces of the puzzle together. Because they're trying to be like, okay, let me just talk about this one thing and then maybe I'll talk. And I'm like, no, just put it out there in the atmosphere. And so that's a very, very vague, but that's a more consistent one that I get, is just really constraint on the response.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, and having been in that position myself in the past, I think that comes from a place of wanting to make sure we're not maybe excluding everyone. We're making our net as wide as possible. We're not making anyone upset so that they don't eventually want to like not work with us. And what I have found is like, it's so funny because the exact opposite happens. Like, yes, when you are just like out there with your most authentic, raw, genuine self and what you really think. Yeah. I mean, it's like a filter. Like some people are like, that person is not for me. Mm-hmm. And they go away, but that's a real blessing because you don't want to work with that person anyway. Like you are not for everyone. And if you are, then the people you really, really want to work with, like can't even hear you, can't even see you, like don't know you're there because it's too vanilla. My friend Carrie calls this, going beige. Like you've become beige. Like you're just the same color as the wall now.
Yeah.
And so instead, what if you could put out the things that make you, you, because then the people that are for you will hear themselves reflected and begin to lean in. And I know that it seems like the opposite of what's going to happen, but like, if you can stretch yourself to share 1% more you each time and start to like limb by limb, break out of that box. And maybe you're not putting on the full body armor. Maybe it's just like the armor for your hand today. It's just like the little bits. Over time, you'll stretch your capacity and nervous system to be able to stand out in that way. And you'll see the magical results of being able to just be yourself. Cause that's how you stand out. I mean, that's how you stand out, is by sharing your special sauce.
Mm-hmm. And being different, like, you know, I call it the sea of same. So many people get caught in this sea, and it's like, you're pouring out your heart every other day and you're wondering why you're not getting the clients. You're doing all the right things and you're wondering why you're not making traction. And it's because, like you said, people can't clearly identify that you're the one for them because you're just like everyone else. The client that came to mind earlier when I said an esthetician, she hates Cetaphil. I think that's the lotion that everyone uses like for eczema. She's like, it does nothing. And I'm like, say that. And she's like, but all the famous doctors or this, that, they live by it. And I was like, yeah. And there's a whole entire population of people with eczema that's like, this does not work for me. And they're waiting on you. I was like, scream it to the mountaintops why you hate this product and why it doesn't work and what does work and what they can do to like have relief from the painful, itchy skin, you know?
It's so funny you say that. Like, I have to just call this out and how funny, because my husband has eczema, or like mild eczema. Mm-hmm. It was worse when he was a kid, and he hates Cetaphil. He's like, this doesn't work. Like, I don't get it. And so he switched over to like CeraVe or whatever, but he would see that and be like, oh, she's my person. Like, she knows what she's talking about. Cause I had the same experience. And then he would be like super into whatever her solution is. And so, yeah, it brings the people who are for you way closer to you. And so what if some doctors are pissed off? Like, are they paying your bills? You know?
Exactly. And honestly, you know, I feel like we need more House, I think was the name of the show, Dr. House. Yeah. We need more of him, like that actually think outside of the box, right? Yeah. Instead of like, you know, they learned this in med school and now they have been practicing for 40 years and they're using the exact same thing and we have new products on the market, you know? So that's one of my soapboxes when it comes to healthcare. But yeah, no, seriously. So I love that you say that, and the freedom that you feel, the fulfillment that you feel, as you stretch yourself by doing that 1% every other time, it clues your body in to be like, okay, we're safe to do a little bit more. It's safe to be different. It's safe to be you. One of the biggest questions I get a lot of times when I'm doing speaking engagements is, how did you get to the point of being so bold or being authentic? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I literally pushed myself out there and was like, you know what? If this hurts this time, it's okay. But we're going to give it a shot. You know, you just take baby steps and stick your pinky toe in the water and then eventually jump off the diving board. So yes. I love that you said that.
And you do it in a community, ideally. Like, what really helps, I think, is doing it with other people who are committed to the same outcome so that you can like stretch and grow together. And if you have like a foible or like a flailing sometime and something it doesn't feel right, you've got somebody to go to and say, and like have that experience with. And that's in direct opposition to the reason why I think so many of us are afraid to do that. And it's because of the society that we live in where like, and culturally, you know, growing up, like the phrase was not the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It was more like the tallest, you know, the loudest duck gets shot. Right. And so culturally, some of us come from different backgrounds where standing out was not the thing to do. Like it was very much not the thing to do. And so sometimes we have to look at that straight in the face and reconcile that and unlearn that and like untrain ourselves from what was taught to us by people who love us and wanted to see us succeed, but know that we live in a different time where different things are necessary.
Exactly. One of the examples that I give culturally, being from an African-American family, is that we have to realize, especially just one generation ago, standing out literally got you shot, like you said, right? And so our parents tend to love out of safety. Not always love out of what's truly best for you, but out of safety, because the only thing they know how to do is protect you since birth. And so when you transition into adulthood, that doesn't change. I always also tell people too, it's like, as kids, they don't, at least the past generation didn't encourage you to speak up. You were always afraid you were going to say something wrong or do something wrong. And there's no like moment in time where all of a sudden they're like, go speak your mind. But they expect you to stand up to the bully at school, right? But you haven't had any practice, because at home it was like, be seen, not heard. Like, make sure you're, you know, you're just right, or act like a lady, and a lady doesn't do this, and a lady does. And so those cultural norms, we have to ask ourselves in a new age and time, do they still serve us? I mean, things have changed, but they haven't changed a lot, but things have changed enough where yes, you can stand up and be bold, you can speak up, you can make a difference, you can think differently as well. And it tends to lend for some family members to not really like what you have to say, or feel like it's disrespectful. At least that's a big one that they give us in the South, is that you're being disrespectful. No, I'm just actually answering the question in a difference of opinion, you know? And so you have to literally look at what has been ingrained in you and see if it still serves. And if that answer is no for who you are and what you want to do and how you want to live and that difference that you want to make, maybe that's literally the difference, is creating that safe space so people can break those generational norms or curses or cycles, and do something differently, you know?
Yes, I love that. And that's where like this work becomes so much more than like branding, because how we do one thing is how we do everything. And so if we're able to like really show up in a different way through our thought leadership, through our brand, through our business, that starts to have a ripple effect in every area of our life. And we start to take up more space. We start to show up differently in our relationships. And it's the most amazing thing. It's a process of self-actualization, and everybody deserves that, you know?
125% agree, because that feeling is like no other. It's like, it literally is freedom. I need to be able to like, be able to describe freedom with more like adjectives, but I'm just like, it's freedom. It feels like free. You're no longer suffocating. You can breathe. You're weightless. You feel like you can float. You feel like you can do anything. You feel overjoyed and full. You just feel full to be able to go and give and serve to others too, when you're able to really truly stand in your fullness and authenticity, which is like why I also named the podcast Confident and Courageous Clarity, because it's once you get that clarity, the confidence starts to build and you do show up differently for yourself, for others. And then that courage, because the fear never goes away, but the courage builds as well so that you can truly have increased impact and increased income, you know, because money makes the world go round. But to me, it all starts with clarity and it has that snowball effect for everything else.
I totally agree, because as you get that deep clarity in your foundational who you are and what you do and why you do it, you start to fall back in love with that thing and you like show up in a different way. You fall in love with your offers and your work and you just show up differently. So I completely co-sign what you just said. I've seen it in action and it's amazing to watch.
Mm-hmm. And it accelerates everything. So like, a few clients, and I know even in my journey, I always felt behind, right? Because I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up. And so it was like this cycle and this journey of figuring things out. And so I felt behind my peers that knew they wanted to be doctors, nurses, lawyers, because I was still figuring it out. And once I found my thing, it literally like, I felt caught up in like overnight. Now, like you said, nothing happens overnight. But literally, instead of the 10 years it took of this confusing journey and cycle of scrambled thoughts, in 90 days to a year, life was completely different. Like it literally accelerated and catapulted me into what I really had been looking for and yearning for. And just like you said, it was so close. I just didn't see it. So I love what I do now.
And that's evident. Okay. You can just tell.
Because it just makes me feel good. It makes me feel good to be able to offer that to someone else, you know, who has felt constrained for so long. So, and then they go off and they make the world better. And like you said, part of my business prayer is to be a rippling effect, because I know then they go on and I used to say, so we can be a wave of impact, but now I'm starting to say tsunami, because I really want it to like engulf the globe, you know, not just like this side of the equator. But so that's what, like, I was like, that's my keyword, ripple effect. I love that. So yeah, that's part of my business prayer.
You know, I just am obsessed with what you just said. And we have to trust the process, because we're not always going to know that that's happening. Like those people are not going to come back to us and say, oh my gosh, blah, blah, you know, and when that happens, we can feel very blessed and grateful that they did. But if 10 people a month tell us the impact that we made in their lives, we can know, trust, and believe that there's probably 100 or 1,000 people who actually were impacted and just didn't have an opportunity to let you know. And that's okay. You know, so okay.
I also know like a lot of my clients, they DIY in the dark for at least 2 years. So I include that like in my pipeline, my client journey pipeline, right? Because I'm like, that was me. I ate up everything from podcasts and audiobooks because I was still living in that shame and that light of shame. And I didn't want people to really know, because, you know, from the outside looking in, I had a great job and all the shoulds, right?
Yeah.
And I was miserable. And I was still searching. And so I was DIY in the dark for so long because I didn't want to not be looked at in that light, you know? And so for me, a lot of times I'm like, they're DIY in the dark. That's what I tell myself. You know, every now and again, a person pops in my head, go see what they're doing. And so I get excited because you're right. You get caught up in life. I barely know what day of the week it is most days or what day of the week it is. And so I'm like, you know, they don't come back. It's because they're doing the work and that's all that I can ask for, you know?
Right. That's it. I love that approach. And that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And it will always come back in different ways that we don't always know. Like that person who like consumes our podcast and gets what they need is going to tell 10 of their friends and 5 of them are going to end up being your clients. Like you just never know how it works out, but it always works out the way that it's meant to. And it's a beautiful thing.
It really is. And when you get the opportunity to see the divine timeline connect, it's amazing. But most of the time, like you say, we don't know that the thing is happening for us, not to us. It is meant for you to go through that so you can come out and on the other side and give that playbook, you know, and really be able to guide them and lead someone else So either they don't make the same mistakes or their timeline isn't as long as yours, if nothing at all, you know?
Yes. Oh, that's a mic drop moment. That's like, that's it. That's exactly it.
Yeah. Okay. So I can talk to you all day, as you can see, because I looked at the clock and I'm like, oh my goodness, I haven't asked you like any of my main questions. So we'll just do a few of these. And then I'll let you go because time I know is a resource we can't make more of and we can't get it back. So I'm very, very cognizant of it. So me personally, and a lot of what I'm sharing in this season of the podcast is I've been on my own personal becoming. A lot of multi-passionates and visionaries, we can help others do what we can't do for ourselves, right? And so I was like, I'm going to do this becoming retreat. And God was like, no, you're not, because you have to come. Like, you have to go on this journey. Like we talked about earlier, that identity loss, like, who are you now? Even if you haven't lost it, like, have you evolved? What does that look like? And so I've been on my own personal becoming. And I really, as I dive deeper into that, I see the things that it takes and the lessons learned as you actually become who you either want to be because you're making this new reality for yourself, or you're evolving into who you've already said you want to be, right? And so with that, what's the real why that led you to become the CEO you are today?
Gosh. Well, you know, my big why, you know, so I have a podcast as well called the Campfire Circle Podcast. And the reason it's called that is I have a big why and a big vision to dismantle the boardroom table and all that it entails as the ultimate space of leadership and instead replace it with a campfire circle, because that's where we share our stories authentically, whether they're scary stories, fun stories, and we just share our stories as we are. We build community, right? We build brave community, and there's always a seat at the table. Even if you have to sit on a log, you know, it's all good. Like, there's space for everyone, which is not what I have found at the boardroom table, where you really kind of can't. You kind of have to show up in a certain way. And so that's my why. Like, my why is hope is through this work of thought leadership, of supporting people and showing up on LinkedIn as themselves, like, that they will have the ability to do that in all areas of their life and really, like you said, find freedom as a result.
I love it. And I don't know if I shared this with you when I reached out to you, but one of the things that I love about the fact that you call it a campfire is I know for me, well, first of all, I only did Girl Scout camp once because I don't do outside for real. So that was traumatizing. But what I really do love, like, I'll do like the s'mores and all that stuff, the fireside, is because it makes memories and it's very nostalgic later on in life. And when you smell the burning wood, it takes you back somewhere and it gives you that sense of grounding. It gives you a sense of home. Which I feel like you always need whenever you're stepping into a space where you don't feel like you possibly belong. But it always grounds you and makes you feel comfortable and cozy and capable of doing the thing. And so when I saw your campfire, I was like, I love this. So I had to share that with you.
Love that, like, additional, like, deepness and richness of, like, the senses in there. I'm obsessed with what you just said. That's so good. Mm-hmm. So good.
I mean, I can smell burning wood from anywhere and it just makes me go, oh, like, you know, me you just want to get on the sofa with a blanket, you know?
Yes. Yes. I love that smell too. I know it, like, gets in your hair and everything, but I love that smell.
Exactly. Totally agree. It's worth it. It's worth it. So how do you leverage your passions and purpose to attain your personal and professional goals? Is there anything else we don't know about, Tanya, that you include in your everyday?
Gosh, that's such a good question. You know, well, I define thought leadership as like the practice of consistently sharing your passion, sharing your lived experiences, and sharing your credibility so that you can build top of mind trust and community as you imagine and shape the future together for the better, right? So that's my definition. And so I think that your question is such a good one. And that kind of like is at the heart of this work. I just watched this amazing show on Netflix called Beef. You may have heard of it.
I saw it, but I haven't clicked on it yet. It's on the watch list.
Yeah. So it's so good. And to me, it's like a quintessential, beautiful way of sharing about like the Asian American, like immigrant, child of immigrants experience. And so I'm passionate about that. Like that's in my lived experience. Like that's something I'm credible in. And so taking something like a TV show and like sharing a thought piece or sharing a post about how that ties into our work around visibility and representation, like those are the things that I love to do. And those are the things that make the people that, again, that I most want to reach start to lean in and know that I'm for them and they're for me. So anytime that I can talk about something I'm passionate about, whether it's a TV show or a story or some kind of like hobby. I love to bring that in. It's like just to show myself and be real.
I love that. You know, so quick sidebar. I am a big Lizzo fan and I fell in love with her because of her show on Prime, I want to say. And I was like, by definition, I'm not a big girl because it was the big girl show. I was like, but everything she's saying resonates with my whole entire soul. And it's because she was sharing her bigger why. And to me, she is a social impact, right?
Yep.
Because she's changing the narrative. She's creating a really reality that doesn't exist. One that she was looking for, one that her dancers never would have had the opportunity for if she didn't create it. And so as you were sharing that, that's what it made me think of, because even if someone is not an immigrant to, you know, here, they could still relate to possibly some of your stories or some of the things that connect with that because of the underlying why and your passion behind it. So love, love, love.
Well, I think that's a perfect example because people get really nervous around niching or like making a stand around something because then they're like, well, but then I'm going to exclude everybody else. And the reality is, when somebody can see that you have so much passion and love for a specific subset of people, they know that you're a passionate, caring, generous, thoughtful kind of person and that they will also feel safe in your midst, you know? And so you're not actually excluding, you're just like widening the love. And so I think that Lizzo is such a good example. I love that you said that. So good.
Mm-hmm. And I love widening the love. That I love. I love, I love, I love. Okay, let's see. I just want to say thank you so much. So much. This was so good. And they'll have all of your information where they can connect with you. Please tell them your podcast title one more time and where they can find you.
Yes. The best place to probably find me is LinkedIn. That's my playground. That's my space. That's where I'm hanging out. That's, you know, my spot. And the other place would be to listen to my podcast, which is the Campfire Circle podcast.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. This was such a blast. I could talk to you literally all day, like for days.
Thank you so much for your time. I know you gotta go.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. I hope you found the incredible stories and insights shared to be helpful. Now, before you go, I want to take a moment to express my genuine gratitude to each and every one of you. Your commitment to aligning your passions, purpose, and profession is what makes this podcast community so special. If you resonated with any of today's episode, I encourage you to hit the subscribe button. By subscribing, you're not just joining a podcast, you're becoming a part of a movement that celebrates the brilliance of being multi-passionate. To amplify this movement, I need your help. Share this podcast with your friends, colleagues, and fellow multi-passionates. Let's create a ripple effect of empowerment and inspiration. Lastly, I'm eager to hear your thoughts. What stood out the most in today's episode? Drop a comment or share your takeaways on social media by using the hashtag Confident and Courageous Clarity Podcast. Your insights might just spark a connection or the clarity someone else needs. Remember, the power of multi-passionates lies in our collective journey, and by sharing our stories, not only do we inspire each other, but also break down barriers and redefine success on our own terms. Your support means the world, And together we're building a space where multi-passion meets purpose and dreams evolve into reality. Stay confident, stay courageous, and let's continue this transformative journey together. Until next time, keep thriving and becoming the world-changing multi-passionate CEO you were destined to be. If you're not a part of the community and desire to join us, click the link in the show notes or visit jatiajones.com/community.